Chapter 22. Lights burned in several windows of the doctor's house as Enzo pushed open the gate and followed the path through the jungle that was the front garden up to the door. He heard the weary hammering of his knock echo along the hallway behind it, and after a moment, footsteps approaching. The door opened and the Selvas' elder daughter, Juanez, peered out at him. For a moment her face was frozen in something like shock or disbelief before she let out a shriek that almost burst Enzo's eardrums. He recoiled, startled, as Elizabeth, followed by Alain, appeared hurriedly in the hall behind her and looked at him in astonishment. The doctor said, "For God's sake, man, what's happened to you?" It wasn't until he saw his reflection in the hall mirror that Enzo realized why Juanez had screamed as she had. His face was streaked with dried blood. Most of his hair had pulled itself free of the band that held it in a ponytail, and where it wasn't matted with blood, hung wild and unkempt over his shoulders. His jacket and trousers were blood-stained and filthy, the lower half of his right-hand trouser leg almost hanging off where it was torn open at the knee. He was pale with the cold and shivering.
"Come in! Come in, for heaven's sake!"
Elizabeth took his arm and led him through the dining room to the kitchen, and sat him in a chair at the kitchen table. The whole family gathered round to stare at him as he described how he had been attacked at the Point de l'Enfer and fallen into the Trou. Alain boiled up some water and poured in disinfectant, and began methodically cleaning the wounds and scrapes around his head as he talked, holding him steady as he winced from the pain of the antiseptic. He didn't tell them who he had been expecting to meet, or why, only that it was connected in some way with his investigation into the Killian murder.
"Did you get a look at who did it?" Elizabeth said.
Enzo shook his head.
"That was too dark."
Alain tipped his head to one side and dabbed carefully at a gash on his right temple.
"But you have your thoughts?"
"I do."
"And?" "It could only have been Carjean."
Elizabeth said, "Are you sure?"
"No. But if it wasn't him and he didn't murder Killian, then it must have been the real killer who attacked me out there."
Alain secured a dressing over the wound.
"And do you have any idea who that might be?"
Enzo breathed out his frustration.
"No, I don't."
Alain stood back and looked at him.
"You're going to be black and blue by tomorrow, Monsieur MacLeod."
He smiled wryly.
"You'll make a pretty sight."
Then he crouched down to examine Enzo's knee and drew a sharp breath.
"I'm going to have to get these trousers off you, I'm afraid. There's a terrible gash in your knee. I might have to put stitches in it."
The girls were sent out of the kitchen as Enzo removed his trousers with difficulty. Then he sat with eyes closed while Alain cleaned the wound and injected anesthetic into the knee before taking needle and thread and closing it up with four neat stitches. The doctor smeared his handiwork with disinfectant cream, then placed a dressing over it. When Enzo opened his eyes again, he found Elizabeth there holding out a glass. He smelled the whiskey immediately. She smiled.
"Something for the pain."
He took the glass with still trembling fingers and sipped a mouthful of amber heaven, letting it trickle slowly back over his tongue, burning down his throat and into his chest.
"I don't know how to thank you both," he said. "During all the walk back across the island, the only thing that kept me going was the thought of getting here. I'd never have made it back to Port Mélite."
Port Mélite,